away and just thankful for what God gave us there in that 13 years, and to say there's no regrets when you serve God. And so, but there's so much need in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico, you know, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth. And so at the end, I'm going to do more of an update with you with our ministry, because I do have a video, but I don't want the video to be live streamed. And so God has truly, truly blessed us as we've traveled across America. And I just ask you just to keep us in your prayers. I mean, we do have an active ministry in the Philippines, and we are full-time on deputation. And so we're on our way into Texas now. So I think that's a good idea for January and February. I don't know, but I think it might be a little bit warmer. So I want to begin this evening by reading a verse of Scripture to you. I'm going to be preaching from the book of Judges, chapter 9, this evening. And I want to bring a thought to you in way of introduction. And the thought is this: where there is authority, there is influence. Where there is authority, there's influence. If you're driving down the road and all of a sudden red and blue lights come on behind you, and the police officer approaches your car and says, "Slow down," is there authority? Absolutely. Is there influence? There ought to be, right? But if, Cassie's with us tonight, and so she's our youngest, but, you know, we now have 7 grandchildren, and so we're enjoying that part of life. And so, but if we were to go to the store, the grocery store, and go to the deli and get a free cookie with my grandkids, and to see you there with your children or grandkids, and I was to turn to your kids and say, your children, and say, "Don't eat that cookie," do I have authority? No. You see, where there's authority, there's influence. And in just a minute, I'm going to talk about the opposite side of that, to help us to understand this message that I'm going to preach tonight. I want to read to you a verse of Scripture from Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar and his dream that he had concerning the Holy One that came down from heaven and cut down the tree. Daniel interpreted the dream for him and said that if he didn't get his heart right with God, he was going to lose his sanity, the Bible says, till 7 times passed over. And in the midst of this interpretation of this dream, I want to read this one verse to you, verse number 17, Daniel 4:17. It says, "This matters by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men." You read this verse, and of course, that really a theme of the book of Daniel is that God rules and reigns in the affairs of men, that no one can be in a position of authority or leadership unless God wants them to be in that position, and they're in that position for one purpose, that is to influence. So I'm going to ask you the question this evening: what is your influence? Follow me to Judges chapter 9. In Judges chapter 9, and begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one person reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went into his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered themselves together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Now, do you understand what's taking place here? Okay. Now, first of all, it mentions here Jerubbaal. Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, makes himself king. You know who Jerubbaal is? Okay, you go into the last verse of chapter 8, chapter 8, verse 35. It says here, neither showed they kindness unto the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon. Okay, now, you know who Gideon is? Gideon is the man of faith that took 300 soldiers and defeated the Midianites in one of those God-given, miraculous victories to the nation of Israel from the Midianites. And they wanted to make Gideon king. And Gideon refused to be their king. And Gideon refused and says, God's going to be your king, not me. But that desire for a king came to his son here, Abimelech. And it says here that Abimelech went and spoke to his mother's brethren and his family, and they, you know, and he persuades them, you know, to make him king. And I want you to look at this question here in verse number 2. All right, and in the middle of the verse, it says, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. You see that question? How many of you think it would be better for one person to reign over the nation of Israel? How many think it would be better for 70? Now, how many don't think? Now, you're very careful in not committing on that question, because in reality it's a trick question. And I already gave you the answer to the question. It's not which one was better, it's really which one was best. Because God wanted to be their king. God didn't want them to have a king. The real question is, what is best? And what was best was for God to be their king. But Abimelech persuades his family, and you notice here, you know, his mother goes to his brother and convinces them to make Abimelech king, and they give them, you know, he gives them 70 pieces of silver, and they out of the house of Baal-berith, and they go and they slay the 70 sons of Gideon, but yet there's one young man, Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon, that escapes. And you see them going to Shechem. They gathered the house of Milo, and they went and they made Abimelech king. Now, as you look here at Jotham, who is Jotham? And this is the only time really in Scripture where he's mentioned. But we know that he's the youngest son of Gideon, and you look at him, and you know, Abimelech went and killed all his brothers. And what did Jotham do? You know, he hid himself, he escaped. You know, and he got away. And you look at Jotham, and you look at the condition of the nation of Israel, they just made Abimelech king. It's not what God wanted. Abimelech was a wicked man. He slew the 70, you know, sons of Gideon. And we ask yourself the question, what could Jotham do about this situation? What could he do? Can I parallel that to the situation in the United States of America today? It's so easy to look at what's going on around us and to really sometimes even feel hopeless because of what's going on. But can I say, what is your influence? Now, we've traveled 125 churches, and I can tell you, just as I've seen here, I've seen it everywhere. Churches across America are praying for revival in this nation. It's not an isolated thing where it's just Valley Bible Baptist Church. And you have to say, I believe God is answering the prayers of God's people as they're crying out to Him for the sake of America. And is there a chance of revival to come? Yes. But what is your influence? That's the question I want to ask this evening. And you look at Jotham, it's hopeless. I mean, Abimelech just killed all his brothers. What can he do? What is his influence? I want to keep reading here in verse number 7. It says here, and when they told Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out from the bramble and devour the cedar of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Zerubbabel and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hand, for my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Zerubbabel and with all his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. So what does Jotham do? Jotham goes up to the top of Mount Gerizim and he gives this parable. This parable is one of the greatest treasures of wisdom in the Old Testament scriptures. This parable begins here in verse number 7. And he goes to the top of Mount Gerizim and he cried. And notice here how he starts this parable off here. Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Can I say there's authority in that? Is there authority? Can I say that's the mission? That's a missionary's message? That is your message to the world outside? Hearken unto me, that God may hearken unto you. You need to listen to me so that you can hear from God. You need to hear what God has to say. Now you need to listen, pay attention. There's authority there in those words. And can I tell you, we have the authority of God. Every single one of us has been given authority. Can I say every one of you in this room has an influence? There is always somebody that's looking up to you. There's always somebody that's following you. Everybody has an influence. Why? Because everybody has an authority. Now, What happens? I said, where there's authority, there's influence. What happens if I try to take authority and I don't have influence? I try to have influence where I don't have authority. I said that wrong. Okay? If I try to have an influence where I have no authority, what happens then? I've got one verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 17. It says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. What happens when we try to have influence where I don't have authority? We're like one that takes the dog by the ears. The dog in the Bible is not fluffy. You know, he's not, a domesticated animal. He's a wild beast that cannot be tamed. And if you try to take that wild dog by the ears, you're going to get bit. And when we try to take authority and we try to take influence where I don't have authority, then I'm only like one that takes the dog by the ears. Can I say Abimelech is taking the dog by the ears? Go back to Judges chapter 9. In verse number 8, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign thou over us. What does the olive tree do? Well, the olive tree refuses. The olive tree says, I'm not going to be your king. And the olive tree gives a reason. It says in verse number 9, the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? What is he talking about? Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man? You know, and so I would like you to go with me back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. In Genesis chapter 27, Isaac is an old man. His two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is supposed to get the blessing of God, and that's what God wanted. But you see, Isaac giving the blessing or trying to give the blessing to Esau. And Jacob, at his mother's command, comes in with the venison prepared and the goat skin on the back of his hands and the back of his neck, because Esau was a hairy man, you know, to deceive his father and to get the blessing. Now, I said God wanted Jacob to have that blessing. That's where God wanted it to go. In the midst of this blessing, Genesis chapter 27, one verse, verse number 28. It says, therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and plenty of corn and wine. What is that fatness? I say that fatness is the blessing of God. Can I say the number one thing that we have to influence this world is the blessing of God upon us? I mean, we live in the United States of America. We have blessings that the rest of the world has no idea what it's like to live in the United States of America. You know, we have an influence because of the blessings of God that have been given to us. Go back to Judges chapter 9. Next, you see the trees come to the fig tree. And they ask the fig tree, and says, fig tree, reign over us. And the fig tree again says, no, I'm not going to be your king. And the fig tree gives a reason in verse number 11. It says, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? You know, the fig tree says, should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit? Can I say that if we're children of God tonight, we ought to have good fruit abounding in our life? And that good fruit is your influence on this world. That good fruit is there not for just selfish reasons. It's there for the sake of reaching out to this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for the sake of influence, you know, upon a lost and dying world. That sweetness. And look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. In verse number 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Can I say, because we're children of God, not only should we have fruit abounding in our life, but we should have a sweetness about us. We ought to have a sweetness. And that sweetness is an influence upon this world. That sweetness is there for us to reach out to the world and to influence them for God. Now, go back to Judges 9. You know, next here, they come to the vine. I want to point out to you here that the vine is not a tree. But yet, the vine still has a usefulness. It still has a purpose. It still has something that it can have an influence on all those that come to the vine. What is that influence? Of course, the vine tree, the vine, they ask the vine to be king, and the vine, of course, refuses. And the very reason the vine says in verse number 13, it said, "Should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man and go to be promoted over the trees?" Now, it says, "Should I leave my wine?" And let me point out to you first and foremost that when the vine says, "Should I leave my wine?" Where's the wine? It's hanging in the cluster of the grapes. It's fresh grape juice. It's not intoxicating beverage. Okay? It's not, you know, something that's going to get somebody drunken. It is the fruit of the vine that's hanging on the vine. And the vine says, "Should I leave, you know, my wine which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" And so, you know, what is this talking about? You know, can I say that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? Now, I want you to understand here, the wine here of the vine was actually used in the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus and the Old Testament sacrificial system. It was used, and really, you know, what it's talking about is that relationship with God that we have, and that and understand, we have the ability. We have, because of our relationship with God, we have an influence upon this world round about us. And so, now notice here in verse 14, and it says, "Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out from the bramble and devour the cedars." Now, first thing, the bramble is not a tree. The bramble is just a worthless bush. When I'm back east and I tell people about tumbleweeds, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But I kind of think of the bramble as a tumbleweed. And the bramble, of course, is comparing Abimelech. You know, and so the bramble says, oh yes, I'm going to be your king. And the bramble says, you know, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. What he's saying is this: I'm here from the government, I'm here to help you. Okay? And understand, the bramble says, you know, come and put your trust in my shadow. I mean, I think I can get better shade under the olive tree or the fig tree or even the vine than I am going to get under the bramble bush. And you know, the closer I get to the bramble bush, the more I'm going to get pricked. Now, Abimelech is the bramble bush. And of course, the bramble bush promotes himself as king and says, yes, I'm going to be your king, but I already pointed out to you that God wanted to be their king. God wanted to have that place in their life. You know, when Jotham finishes this parable in verse 21, it says, and Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and all the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Can I tell you in simplicity that even though the situation looked hopeless, God used Jotham as an influence upon the nation of Israel to not want a king. God used Jotham. And you look at him and say, he's insignificant. He's the least in his father's house. He's the youngest. I mean, big brother just killed all his siblings. You know, what can he do? He did exactly what God wanted him to do. And because of that, he had this influence, and the nation of Israel turned away from a king for 400 years until in 1 Samuel, where the children of Israel said, we want a king, and God said, okay, you want to rebel against me? I'm going to give you what you want. And God gave them a king. You know, it wasn't the blessing of God upon them. It was the punishment of God upon them. You know, because any time you rebel against God-given authority, God's going to put you under an authority that's there to punish you. Okay? And so, you know, God gave them what they wanted under King Saul, and he was another bramble bush. You know, I can make the points of the message tonight, say, don't be a bramble bush. You know, we shouldn't be a bramble bush in our homes. I mean, God has given us authority. You know, with our families, with our children, God's given us authority. He's given us influence in those places. And I need to be the influence that God wants me to be. Now, could you imagine being Nehemiah, one man that God called to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls? You know, God gave him authority. God gave him influence. And he got back to Jerusalem. He went and he surveyed the damage. And he's looking at 2.5 miles of wall, and he's by himself. What can one man do? Well, you know what happened in the story of Nehemiah. Every man took responsibility for what was in front of him. For what he took authority over a certain section of that wall and said, this is mine to build, and I'm going to build this. Can I say this? God has given to us an authority. And because of it, we have an influence. And so what am I supposed to do? I mean, it's hopeless. We can look at America and say it's hopeless what's going on. We can get very discouraged watching the news. I don't like to watch the news anymore. Okay, I'd rather shut it off. And I think we could cut COVID down if we just turned off the news. You know, okay. But you know, it can look pretty hopeless. What can we do? I just say this: if you'll take what God has given to you, and influence what God has given to you for God, and the next guy down the road takes care of his part of the wall, and the next guy takes care of his part, and all across this country, we're taking the authority to influence what God has given to us. That's where revival can start. You see, what is your influence? You see, Abimelech took it to himself, and he put himself in the place of preeminence. But can I say, God wanted to be their king? And can I say this? God wants to be your king tonight. You know, the real question really in this passage is who is going to have the preeminence? Of course, God used Jotham to turn the nation of Israel away from wanting a king. What influence do I have? My influence becomes what God wants it to be when the Lord Jesus Christ has the preeminence and he is truly my king. I want to end with this question this evening. When you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being preeminent, is he truly preeminent in your life? Or is he just a priority? Because he can be a priority, you know, without ever being preeminent. You know, church is a priority, but is Christ preeminent? You know, reading my Bible is a priority, but is Christ preeminent? Is he really, truly in that place of preeminence in our life? Preacher, Pastor McMathel, turn it over to you.